Hello, welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns. I started these podcasts really to talk to the outdoor community in Scotland during lockdown. And lockdown seems to have been going on for a very long time now. I believe it's only 3 months, although it feels an awful lot longer for the outdoor community in Scotland. Now, throughout that period, I know that Mountaineering Scotland have been the voice, if you like, of the outdoor community and have been making sure that our views and the issues that are around for climbers and hill walkers have been heard. Now we're moving now to a different phase, and I think this is probably the most complicated phase as we gradually ease lockdown. When you can't go anywhere, full stop, it's pretty straightforward, but things are changing now. So I've got on the show today Heather Morning, who is Mountain Safety Advisor for Mountaineering Scotland, and I'm sure, as much as anybody knows, she'll be able to answer our questions. Hello, Heather, how are you?
Good morning, John. I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm still here. which is something of an achievement, I suppose. Okay, now we're in phase two. When we began to move out of lockdown, not much changed for the outdoors. But we're now moving on to that. So where do you think we are now in terms of what we can and can't do in the outdoors?
Well, there has been some huge changes which come into effect from today, the 3rd of July. And no, we've pretty much got open access to go where we like under the normal Scottish Outdoor Access Code guidelines, anywhere within the UK. The only restriction is people who sadly live in the area down in sort of Lockerbie, Annan, Dumfries kind of area where we've had that unfortunate outbreak, and they are still limited to a 5 mile radius. But anyone else living in Scotland or indeed anywhere else in the UK can travel anywhere they wish with unlimited travel, which of course opens up the whole of the Highlands of Scotland to us.
Absolutely. So I can now get in my car and drive 70 miles and climb a hill and drive home. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. Yes.
Great. All we need now is the weather.
Well, it's ironic, isn't it, that as soon as these restrictions are lifted, we've got, you know, 3 days coming up of particularly dreek, wet and windy at times weather, and not particularly conducive for great days on the hill.
Well, to be quite honest, I think I wouldn't mind going out and getting wet for a change. I think I might do that. So if I want a wild camp, where do I stand about that right now?
Well, that is a really interesting one. We were certainly expecting in the announcement that came yesterday that you would be able to wild camp as part of this opening up of Scotland, but it took us by great surprise that that is indeed not the case. So though the opening up does not include necessarily opening up of spending the night out. So where you could spend the night out would be in a pre-booked, self-contained accommodation, such as a caravan or a self-catering cottage. But what you're not allowed currently to do until the 15th of July is drive in your van and park in a roadside. That is going to be not allowed. And you can't just disappear off with your tent into the hills. So wild camping has been excluded until 15th of July. And there's a couple of points I think to mention about this. I think the first thing is that I think a lot of people's perception of wild camping is very different to ours. So I think probably the Scottish government are looking at the word wild camping and thinking, you know, pulling up by the side of the road with your sort of slab of beer and your, you know, your massive tent and, you know, camping by the side of the road. And that's what they're wanting to discourage. And I think very few people outside our world have any concept of what we think of as wild camping, which is disappearing off into the hills. And I can't think of any better way to self-isolate personally, and it's certainly going to be self-catering.
Yeah, I suppose the difficult bit is where do you, you know, how do you draw a line between camping beside the road and between camping in the hills right now. It's a pretty difficult thing to delineate, isn't it? And I suppose, I don't know, do you think that they're really just trying to keep things as clear as you can right now?
Well, I guess no policy is going to be able to cover every eventuality, and it's never going to keep all the people happy all of the time. And so, yeah, it's just a blanket ban on camping. And, you know, I understand that, you know, all campsites are still closed to tents because they would need access to shared toilet facilities. And the only facilities open, you know, like campsites, is to cater for, you know, RVs who are self-contained with their own kitchen and their own toilet.
So if you've got a great big camper van and you can, and you pre-book it, is that right?
You've got to I understand, pre-booking is required, yes.
So as we speak, an army of white trucks will be heading up the A9. Is that where we are, do you think?
Oh my goodness, I don't know. And I just, you know, I do worry about the future really with regard to us opening up and very few facilities open still, you know, for disposal of toilets and things like that.
Yes.
And, you know, we've all seen the horrendous pictures of littering in the countryside. In fact, one of my colleagues showed me some pictures of a campsite near the summit of Ben Mat Duey of just like 20 kilos of stuff just left, like, you know, festival tent type stuff and chairs, and just, you know, a group had gone up there and just basically
just abandoned everything.
We see it, you know, in lay-bys and by locks, but I personally never seen that, you know, up in a remote place near Ben Mat Duey or elsewhere.
No, I was wondering whether the issues over the virus have made us look at the way we use our wild spaces and think, you know, is it the case, do you think, that we can have the same attitude that we always?
It's really complex and really multifactorial, and I think one of the things that is happening is that perhaps people who wouldn't normally go into the countryside and therefore aren't particularly well educated or perhaps not very respectful of the countryside environment would perhaps normally, I don't know, go down the local town and go shopping or be hanging out at the pub or, you know, going to the footy. But they are, because everything's so limited, they're heading out, you know, to the nearest lock side and, you know, enjoying themselves there and perhaps aren't as aware as they might be of the consequences of their actions. Very sad.
Well, I mean, you could argue, though, that in a way, although we're suffering these consequences of littering and things like that, actually it is bringing into the countryside people who wouldn't ordinarily go there. I hope that maybe people will come against the countryside or the wild places and they'll kind of learn how to treat them better. Do you think that might happen?
Well, it would be lovely to think so, wouldn't it, John? And it would be lovely to think that by people, you know, seeing the beautiful places that we have here in Scotland, that they would learn to respect them and look after them.
So moving on then, maybe to look, how have things changed for climbers then?
So climbers can basically fill the boots, you know, they can travel anywhere, do any sort of climbing whatsoever. And obviously, you know, both with hill walkers and climbers, we would stick to our core messages of be prepared, be safe and be kind to other people and just generally be COVID aware and, you know, appreciate that there's other people on the crag or there's other people using the land on your way to the crag, for example. And, you know, I think a lot of it is, you know, for us to move into a future world, we're just going to have to use a lot of common sense and be very aware of other people around us, aren't we? And, you know, it's the only way that we're going to be able to move on, isn't it? And all enjoy the access that we're used to in a pre-COVID world.
Interesting to know. I mean, obviously, climbers can go back to multi-pitch routes, but one of the issues is that if people are climbing on local crags, some of these routes are very popular.
Yeah, I think that's is very true. You know, you could easily be using a handhold that had been used half an hour earlier by someone else who potentially, you know, were carrying the virus, even if they weren't aware of it. So it would probably be a good idea just to carry a wee bottle of hand sanitizer and use it, you know, before and after the route, just to try and reduce the risk of contamination.
Okay, yeah, that sounds sensible, doesn't it? It's a small precaution that we can take, you know. So,
yeah.
At the moment, in terms of wild camping, everything's out. Where do we stand in terms of mountain bothies?
That sadly is waiting on guidance coming through from the Mountain Bothies Association. As we stand today on the 3rd of July, their statement is still saying that all bothies are closed and shouldn't be used. Interestingly enough, you know, if we can go in our little sort of household groups and, you know, friends bubbles to a self-catering place, then presumably, if we looked at a group of people who normally live together or were within their bubble going to a bothy that hadn't been used recently, then that would be perfectly okay. But of course, in a self-catering booking situation, you can manage that. In a bothy situation, of course, that can't be managed. So even when they do lift restrictions, I think it'd be good advice for people to have alternative accommodation on their backs just in case the place is crowded, and use a bit of common sense and put your tent up.
Well, I mean, the problem with bothies obviously is that you have no idea who else is going to be there, and they are by definition usually pretty small, much access to hot water, and difficult to clean, so you've got multiple risks there. And also, understand, the virus thrives in cool, damp conditions. It's going to be a tricky one with bothy. I mean, I'm a very keen bothy goer, but I've just bought myself a big tent. You know, I'm not. What about mountain huts? What's the guidance there? Sorry, mountaineering club huts is what I meant to say.
Well, that's an interesting one, because like a lot of this at the moment, it's extremely complex and changing almost on a daily basis. But the BMC have issued quite comprehensive guidelines for huts, and Mountaineering Scotland are looking at also sort of kind of refining that for the Scottish context. But it's all based around open up for bookings with single occupancy, i.e. a single kind of known group, rather than letting multiple strangers book on the same night, and looking at issuing people who are booking the huts with guidance about cleanliness, etc., and providing additional PPE in the hut. So for example, Mill Cottage, which is the hut that is in Glenfeshie and is run by Mountaineering Scotland, we are opening that for exclusive use bookings from the 15th of July. So that's fairly shortly, a couple of weeks away.
But
every hut has its own group of trustees who manage it. I'm involved with also Glenbrittle Memorial Hut on Skye. I do the bookings for Glenbrittle, and currently Glenbrittle is closed until the end of August and will be reviewed hopefully sometime soon. So I think it will vary hut to hut, but certainly some are definitely looking at starting to open for kind of private bookings. So it could be a good option for people who are wanting to get in the hills, and bothies perhaps aren't available, and to be honest, camping this time of year is not the most desirable option with the wee midges and clegs, is it?
No, who are I, I'm sure, listening to this broadcast with avid interest, waiting to know when the next meal is about to be served. But in terms of mountaineering huts, though, when you're talking about those bookings and groups booking them, do not the groups have to be from the same household at the moment? That's my understanding of it. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So it's kind of groups of same household or your household that you've linked up with. Yeah, and obviously that's going to have to be done on a bit of a honesty basis. If someone phones up to book for six people, and
so your family or if in your house, etc., and your kind of little social bubble, which I don't really understand terribly well, but you okay, that makes sense. Yeah. So basically, the people who you're already having fairly close contact with within the guidance, you could book a hut, which I presume.
Yes.
Right.
You'd be issued with sort of guidance about what to do on arrival and what to do on departure. And I think most huts will set up a system where they've perhaps got 2 or 3 days between bookings as well. But just to emphasise, every hut will probably have its own sort of anomalies there. And on the Mountaineer in Scotland website, you can actually download a PDF of all the huts that are available in Scotland. And if you're a member of BMC or Mountaineer in Scotland or a club, then you can access those huts.
So is there anything that we haven't covered? Wild camping starts on the 15th of July. That's when the flag goes up and you know you can set off at a sprint. Is there anything else that we've not covered? It's a complicated situation. It's a situation that's changing and evolving all the time. Anything else that we've not talked about in terms of the guidance that maybe we should?
Well, I think just to be aware that, you know, for many of us, we haven't been able to go out into the hills, you know, for the last 3 months. So at best, we're going to be a bit rusty, aren't we? And at worst, we're going to head off and forget something really important. And and I'd be very surprised if we didn't see a few mountain rescue call outs this weekend. Very surprised indeed. And and just to, you know, put a wee bit of thought into what you're taking with you, where you're going, be a bit flexible about where to go, because I think some of the popular kind of honeypot places like, you know, Shelley and Car Park springs to mind straight away will be absolutely rammed. And think out the box and go somewhere a wee bit different, you know, get away from the crowds, because I don't know about you, when I saw those pictures of Bournemouth Beach last week, I was like, even outside of COVID, why on earth would you want to be there? And I think a lot of your listeners will feel the same. You know, pick some obscure wee hill somewhere and you'd have the place to yourself. You know, don't put yourself in a situation where you're definitely going to be around lots of people. You know, the popular Munros will probably be super busy, won't they?
So the idea really is to play safe, isn't it, I suppose? To do something which is well within your abilities, because I don't know about you, I haven't done anything for 3 months. My aim is to be rusty. I think if I can get to the rusty level, I'm doing all right, you know. Beyond there, it's just a dream, really.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Well, that was really useful. Perhaps when maybe around about the 15th, you can come on again and we can look at how things have changed. Would you be happy to do that?
Absolutely. And wouldn't it be nice if we're, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, we're in a position where, you know, things are very much better than they are now, and we're not all worried about our safety. And it'd be interesting, you know, with a big influx of people coming up to the Highlands where we've had such very low cases of COVID, you know, how that's going to pan out. And I think a lot of rural people will be pretty worried about that.
Okay, Heather, thank you very much. That was really important. And hope you have a good time on the hills, and I'll see you soon.
Okay, thanks very much, John.
Okay, bye.